Elizabeth decided that she would, in person, deliver the note of thanks for the pâté. In pursuance of this policy, she set out early in the afternoon the next day to walk to Grebe. By the railing at the end of the high street, where the steep steps went down to the levels below, there was a crowd of people looking at the immense expanse of water that lay spread over the marsh. The southwesterly gale had piled up the spring tides. The continuous rains had caused the river to come down in flood, and the meeting of the two formed a huge lake a mile or more wide, which stretched seawards. The gale had now quite ceased. The sun shone brilliantly from the pale blue of the winter sky. This enormous estuary sparkled in the gleam. Far away to the south, a great bank of very thick vapour lay over the horizon, showing that in the channel there was a thick fog. But over in Tilling and the flooded marsh, the heavens were of a dazzling radiance. She passed, as she neared Grebe, Lucia's servants coming into town, and remembering they were going to a whist drive at the Institute, wished them a Merry Christmas and hoped they'd all win. Her brisk pace made short work of the distance, and within a few minutes had come to the thick hornbeam hedge which shielded Grebe from the road. She stopped opposite it for a moment. There was that prodigious sheet of dazzling water, now close to the top of the restraining bank, to admire. There was herself to screw up to the humility required for thanking Lucia for the present. Finally, coming from nowhere, there flashed in her mind the thought of lobster à la Risum, the recipe which Lucia had so meanly withheld from her. Instantly, that thought fractified into apples of desire. The servants were all out, and the kitchen would certainly be empty. She would go round to the gate at the end of the kitchen garden and approach the house that way. The cinder path led straight to the coach-house doors of the kitchen, and she would ascertain by a simple device of trying the handle if these were unlocked. If they were unlocked, she would quietly pop in and see if the cook's book of recipes was not somewhere about. If it was, she would certainly find in it the recipe for lobster à la Risum. A minute would suffice to copy it, and then, tiptoeing out of the kitchen again, with the key of the mystery in her pocket, she would go to the front door as cool as a cucumber and ring the bell. Without hurrying at all, she walked down the cinder path and tested the kitchen door. It was unlocked. She slipped in, closing it quietly behind her. In the centre of the kitchen, decked and ready for illumination, stood the Christmas tree and the great kitchen table with its broad skirting of board halfway down its legs. Elizabeth saw a small shelf of books on the wall opposite and swooped like a Merlin on it. There were a few trashy novels. There was a hymn book, a prayer book, and there was a thick volume with no title on the back band, bound in American cloth. She opened it and saw, at once, that her claws had at last gripped the prey. Rapidly she turned the leaves, and there, manifest at last, was the pearl of great price, lobster à la Risum. It began with the luscious words, "Take two hen lobsters." Out came her pencil. That, and a piece of paper in which she had wrapped a present for a choir boy, was all she needed. In a couple of minutes, she had copied out the mystic spell, replaced the sacred volume on the shelf, and put in her pocket the information for which she had pined so long. At that moment, she heard a step on the crisp path outside, and a handle of the kitchen door was turned. Elizabeth took one sideways stride behind the gaudy tree, and peering through the branches saw Lucia coming straight towards her, not yet perceiving that there was a Boxing Day burglar in her own kitchen, and then stood admiring her tree. Then, with a startled exclamation, she called out, "Who's that?" And Elizabeth knew she was discovered. "It's me again, Lucia," she said. "I came to thank you in person for that delicious pâté, and to ask if..." From somewhere close outside, there was a terrific roar. United for a moment by a startled curiosity, they ran together to the open door and saw, already leaping across the road and over the hornbeam hedge, a solid wall of water. "The bank has given way," shrieked Lucia. "Quick, into the house." They fled back past the Christmas tree and tried the door into the house. It was locked. "We shall be drowned," wailed Elizabeth, as the flood came foaming into the kitchen. rubbish!" cried Lucia. "The kitchen table! We must turn it upside down and get on to it." It was but the work of a moment to do this. Would their weight be too great to allow it to float on the rushing water that now rapidly came into the kitchen? That anxiety was short-lived, for it rose free from the floor and bumped gently into the Christmas tree. The flood, eddying fiercely around the submerged kitchen, took them out of the doors that had flung wide open and, in a few minutes, they were floating away over the garden and the hornbeam hedge. The tide had evidently begun to ebb before the bank gave way, and now the kitchen table moved off in the direction of Tilling and the sea.